We are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philadelphia Flyers podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me today, we return Mike Senior. How you doing?
Hello, hello. Glad to be back again, as always.
And we also have Dom Consol. How you doing, buddy?
What's up?
Good. Nice to have you guys back. And the Flyers certainly did have a week. They got into it. Before we get into it, I want to tell you, you can find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, SportsTalkPhilly.com, and on Twitter at YWT Podcast. Mike is at Mike underscore Giletto, and Dom, you're at Dom Console, right?
Correct.
C-O-N-S-O-L-E?
Yes.
All right. So you can get a hold of Dom, let him know, you know, that you love when he's on the show and you want him to be on more often, or, I mean, maybe not, I don't know. But, all right. Now, when we sat down to plan this show, Mike Senior, you said that you were angry and you wanted to go off and you wanted to get the show recorded in a hurry while you were still fired up. So, like, let's just get into it.
Yeah, I don't think that'll go away anytime soon. I am really we said at the end of the show last week, basically, that this is a measuring stick week.
And they went 2-2 in those divisional games.
And they failed miserably. Okay, I bleeped myself there. Okay,
They failed miserably.
This looked an awful lot like 2017, 2018. They failed miserably. They were soft. They were for long periods in the game of especially the two games. They just didn't even compete, and there's absolutely no excuse for that. It was a complete and utter disgrace.
So to summarize, the Flyers played four games this week. Since our last recording, they played the Islanders last Sunday night. That was a 5-3 loss. They played Pittsburgh
That wasn't that close.
Right. They played Pittsburgh on Tuesday, which I assume is the game you're talking about. That was a 7-1 loss.
I was talking both the Islanders game and the Pittsburgh game.
Okay. And then the Flyers beat the New Jersey Devils on Friday night and then lost to the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday night in a game that went very, very long, 11 rounds deep in a shootout. Resulted in Andreas Janssen scoring the game winner in the shootout for the Leafs, and they did beat the Flyers on home ice. I assume you're talking about the Islanders and the Pittsburgh games?
The lack of competing in both of those games, and to an even greater degree, the Pittsburgh game, was just pitiful.
They looked like... did you ever watch a boxing match, and then after like 5 or 6 rounds, that boxer just looks like he's just dead?
Yeah, I watched McGregor versus Mayweather.
They look like they came out after five. They started the game after 5 or 6 rounds. They just looked dead.
Yeah, and that's
and they didn't and they didn't look all that good in the 5 or 6 rounds that they did.
Right,
that they did.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It looks like they started out in that 5th round already dead.
I got you.
Already dead.
They in the first round they looked like they had already fought 5 rounds.
Right.
So it's like when you're playing NHL Be a Pro and you finish your shift and you come off and then the coach throws you right back out and your stamina bar is like that big. and you're skating, it looks like you're skating through mud. About right. And you know, listen, sometimes the wheels fall off. And I think it's safe to acknowledge that the wheels fell off Tuesday night in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but it wasn't a wheels fall off the game, wheels fall off the car kind of game. They didn't do things well, and then this happened, and that happened, and a snowball effect occurred, and then it just went out of hand. They were bad from Jump Street, from the drop of the puck. They were just bad and non-compete. That's what I can't take.
And that's the thing. Like it looked like they came out those two games really really tired, but they weren't even motivated. They just came out and were just flat. And they did nothing to, you know, fix that.
The first four goals of the game that Pittsburgh scored were all desire and want-to plays. Every single one of them. And Pittsburgh wanted and had the desire more than the Flyers did. Sanheim goes into the corner. And it's going to sound a little technical, but it's textbook 101 hockey. You're a left-handed defenseman going into your corner. You don't reach to your left for the puck. You go in with the puck to your right. Okay, and you protect the puck with your body so that if you get hit, if there's a play on the puck, if there's something, if you fumble the puck, it's still at your feet. He tries to play it all the way from his left, swings for the puck, misses the puck. Now his back's to the puck. Pittsburgh guy right there, center, boom, score. That is just awful, awful hockey. You have to protect the puck with your body first. Then you make a play with your stick. It's again, it's hockey 101. If this coach can't fix those things, I'm going to go nuts. I can't watch that again. I can't.
Okay, but I think it's probably too early to say that the coach can't fix those things.
And I agree.
And I'm curious, do you look at that game, and if you're Elaine Vigneault, if you're running the team, do you bag skate them the next morning, or is this burn the tape and start over? Like, what do you think the correct solution would be after a game like the Pittsburgh game?
It's definitely not burn the tape and start over. It's get the tape. They don't even need to go on the ice. Get in the film room and say, here's what you did. You can't do this.
Right.
You can't play this way. They're losing 4-0. Crosby comes down for a puck behind the net. It was an inconsequential play in the game. Nothing happened on the play. But he beats Provorov to the puck. Not because he had a step on him. He was going to beat him. And he gets to the puck and kind of flips it to the corner. And Provorov had him dead to rights. And he just turned, because he flipped the puck into the corner, Provorov just skates away and doesn't touch him. Not even hits him soft.
I feel like that's just hockey today.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with hits.
You're losing 4-0. You gotta take your pound of flesh. Do something to turn the game around. Show me you care.
Just not the Flyers. I hear what you're saying and I agree, but it's just not just the Flyers. It's hockey everywhere.
That should be any team in hockey. You gotta get, you're losing 4-0. You gotta do something.
I disagree. I'm just telling you, that's hockey today. That's what it is.
That's disgusting.
And you did see Niskanen lay a pretty nice hit on Crosby. He really did. He put his shoulder right into him. It was a nice clean check. It was a nice hard check. And then Matt Niskanen, just jumping forward to the New Jersey game, also put a really, really nice hit on Nico Hischier.
He's been everything we could have asked him to be. He's better than I thought he was.
Right. Well, he came in.
Nice check. Sorry. Go ahead.
Niskanen, I want to talk about Niskanen because he came in as kind of our replacement to Radko Gudas. He was swapped directly for him, but also I think he was kind of expected to fill the same slot in the lineup. And we all looked at this trade and said, okay, Gudas has gotten better. Gudas probably just had the best year of his career. Niskanen has had a rough couple of years and is probably coming off the worst year of his career. That being said, I think Niskanen has stepped in and looked really, really good. He's looked like Matt Niskanen from a couple years ago. He's willing to take the body. He's almost always in the right position. I'm willing to call a win for the Flyers on that trade now.
In the first 13 games, for sure.
And he's a better defenseman, I think. Not by light years, but close to it.
Right. Yeah, we haven't seen Niskanen for the last two years of his quote-unquote down years. His down year may have been better than Gudas' up year.
Well, and that's
didn't pay attention to it well enough.
That's why I think it was such a coup for Flyers management. I think you sold high on Gudas and also bought low on Niskanen. And as it sits, we just got a much better defenseman.
Because
we sold on Gudas at the right time and we bought on Niskanen at the right time. And here we are, and we have this very capable defenseman. Now, that being said, I think Radko Gudas has something like 7 or 8 points, which is insane for him. But
yeah,
he does play for a really good team.
Sure, but either way, I think I'm willing to call that a win for the Flyers because Niskanen does look great.
I've seen Gudas here. I've now seen Niskanen here for 13 games. Yeah, I'll make that deal all day long.
Plus, I also think Niskanen brings a little bit more because he seems like more of a leader.
Absolutely.
Agreed. Very good point, Dom. I totally agree with that.
He has a cup. He's seen it all. He's been on the teams that won. He's been in the Metro
in the
forever.
And
he just showed you in the Jersey game, which you just alluded to, Kyle. You know, he's willing to answer the bell as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think Kyle Palmieri gave him much choice. For our listeners, if you haven't seen the hit, Hischier kind of came around the net, lost the puck for a second, and Niskanen, nice and clean, shoulder to shoulder, but he buried him.
It was the classic don't play with your head down hit.
Yep, Hischier's helmet popped off, and then his head banged off the boards of the glass. So it was a little bit of a scary moment. I think that's what Kyle Palmieri saw. But either way, he went up to Niskanen and kind of forced him to answer the bell. And Niskanen did, and they had a, you know, a pretty mediocre fight. But that being said,
it wasn't a great fight, but his, you could tell by his body language, there was no reluctance.
Oh, he knew. He knew immediately.
From Niskanen. He jumped right in. You know, you're going to get in my face, I'm going to get in yours.
And he did that.
That stuff's important.
He did just enough hesitating that Kyle Palmieri got the 2 minute instigator.
Right.
Which is, I don't know if he did that on purpose or if it just took him a second to register it.
I don't think the delay is what, I'm not even really sure I agree with you that there was one, but I don't think that's what got him the 2 minute. I think the 2 minute is because whenever you kind of are answering for somebody else's hit, you're seen as the person who instigated the fight.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Just by jumping into it, the other, you know, two guys hit each other, a third person jumps in to protect the guy who got hit, you're almost always going to get that 2 minute instigator.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the case here. Did the Flyers score on that power play? They might have. Either way,
I don't remember.
Right. Either way, the Flyers just took care of the Devils. Even though it was a 4-3 game and it was kind of close and blah, 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 that was one of those games
where... Shootout.
They did win a shootout. But, like, I always felt good about that game.
I wouldn't call that game a strong bounce-back game from the two games before. If they played anybody better, they'd probably lose. It was a bad week.
Yeah, but
it was
a
bad week. I'm furious.
We also saw...
I'm going to apologize to everybody for how many times I'm going to say I'm furious. But I'm furious. I am so mad. So
I've known you long enough to know that this is kind of just your natural state of being, so I'm not really all that surprised by
this. No, my natural state of being, I'm now times 10. I literally, my face is red.
Well, that's just your normal state of being. You're always a little
Will
rosy.
You just let me be friggin' angrier?
the shootout was probably what, 05, 06 when it came into the league?
It was right after the lockout, yeah. So it would have been 05.
Yeah, we're gonna start practicing that soon.
So I think it's wild that as much as we play the Devils, before that shootout, we were like 2-for-9 or 2-for-8 or 1-for-8. That's crazy.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
We're
the
2-for-8 against
them. I understand it's the Brodeur error and everything like that. But I just think it's crazy. We've only been in that many shootouts for over a 15-year span.
Dude, yeah, I don't think
one a year.
Yeah, I don't think we're better than 20% against anybody.
Right.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I wouldn't be surprised. Flyers,
Dan, as a rival, as a division rival and conference rival, I think it's crazy. It's that low.
Well, I'll
go out on a limb and I'll bet you TJ Oshie has more shootout goals over the last 5 years than the Flyers team combined.
Maybe. But that being said, you only play 4 or 5 times a year, and how many games really do go to a shootout? Not a ton, especially...
For over a 15-year period.
Enough to know they stink. I'm sorry, Dom.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Well, I know, but no, Dom's talking about the fact that we just haven't had that many shootouts against the Devils. Not talking about win rate.
Right.
Just pure number of...
Oh, I'm sorry.
...shootouts.
Fact that we've only had 8 against them since 2004.
10, yeah, right.
Well, right.
Okay, yeah, that is a small number.
But if you remember from after the lockout until the other lockout in 2012, it was a 5-on-5 overtime. Nothing happened. And then they went to the 4-on-4 for 1 year. And then they went to the 3-on-3. And that's what it's been since. And since they've gone to the 3-on-3, just so many fewer games end in a shootout. Like, so many more games end in overtime. That it, you know, we talked about it a little bit on last week's show. The shootout needs to go, and we've all talked about that.
No, I agree.
But either way, it has done its job of getting the number of shootouts down. You know,
why not keep going down that path?
Well, and I think we're eventually going to get there. There's a new CBA coming up, and maybe that's something that gets collectively bargained. When we get there, because I know the players hate the shootout too.
Is that something that really? It's a rule. Does it even need? I guess if you're arguing, play more time.
Well, it's one of those things.
Yeah, you have to collectively bargain that. I guess
I don't think they have to collectively bargain it, but I think the players will push for it as part of collective bargaining. If that makes sense.
Yeah, you would think so.
You would think.
You think.
There we go. There's our first trio. But either way, the Flyers ended up 1-2-1 this week since our last recording. And really, the Pittsburgh game was bad. You probably should have beaten the Islanders, and the fact that you were even remotely in that game is kind of surprising.
Yeah, it was not a 5-3 game. They lost that game. Right. And unfortunately, if I'm remembering it correctly, and I'm pretty sure I am, Hart wasn't particularly good in that game.
That's something I want to talk about, and we'll get into Carter Hart in just a second. But then, you know, you had every chance to beat the Leafs, and you didn't. At every stage of the game, you were either up by one or tied.
Yeah, they're having their own struggles, and we didn't take advantage of that. I guess if there's any silver lining, if you want to try to put one on it, and I can't even believe I'm going down that road as mad as I am. A god-awful week, you go 1-2-1, and they really can't play any worse than they played this week. So I guess if you're really god-awful, you go 0-4.
Right. You managed to get three points out of this.
I was so optimistic that this guy would stop the long stretches of them not competing, the long stretches of them being bad, the up and down roller coaster bullshit I'm so sick of. I thought this guy would stop that, and if he doesn't stop it soon,
right,
my head's gonna explode.
I agree, and talked about it on Tuesday night. We were all texting when they played Pittsburgh. Right.
During the
and if they continue,
yeah, I was pretty fired up.
A lot of F bombs.
I was F salad, you know, F backyards, F the pool. I mean, it was.
You even brought up SNL. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase.
Michael Che. It was everything.
But yeah, we said something about Chevy Chase, but anyway, getting back to hockey.
F Chevy Chase, Maryland. Yeah. I was on fire.
So. What I said in the group text is if they continue this, they're going to be a 500 team if they're lucky.
Yeah.
And it's not good enough.
And somewhere Hackstall's going to just smile his way back to the bench in Toronto.
Somewhere? I was going to say, he's in Toronto. He was just in town last night.
Yeah, so somewhere in Toronto, he must have been smiling last night going, hey, you guys thought it was easy.
All right, you guys blame me.
If they continue this and they're a 500 team at the trade deadline, what, like, do you think it's the core? Do you think it's this core that they just –
absolutely. Heads are going to roll. Their statistics right now are abysmal.
What do you think it's going to be? I don't see them trading Couturier. It's got to be.
All right. It's got to be Giroux. It's got to be Couturier. It's got to be.
I'm going to throw out
Couturier
some names.
Couturier is a -4. And he has 9 points in 13 games, and he's a -4. I don't. Whose idea was it to bring Braun over?
They signed him in free agency. Fletcher.
Yeah, whoever that scout was.
That was a trade.
Whoever the scout was that said, get him, you got to get rid of that scout because he's a -10.
Plus minus is a flawed stat. A lot of that is the team around them, and we will still get into Carter Hart because a lot of that -10 is on him, to be quite honest.
I agree with that to a certain not to a certain extent, but I agree with that because Matt Dumba is one of my favorite players in this league, and that PK sucks in Minnesota, and he's a really good player, but he's a
-25 every year.
Right, it's insane, and he's a good player.
You know, but the worst player on the Flyer team, the next worst player, is Hayes and Couturier at -4. He's -10. You know how hard that is to be? You're almost a -1 every game at that pace. Your season, you're going to be at that pace, -70.
Okay. And also, we did see the organization make small moves this week. We saw people get sent down. We saw Twarinski, Rubitsov, and Myers come up. Myers has looked great in the two games so far.
I like what I've seen of Myers. Absolutely.
I think that's right. Vorobyev went back down. Marin went down and they called it a conditioning stint. I'm confused how they got away with that, but Marin might be back.
He needs playing time. If anything, I think you're wasting him being in the press box.
Oh, I totally agree. I just don't know how they sent him down without him clearing waivers. I don't know how they called it a conditioning stint. Either way, I'm okay with it because I think he should be getting ice time somewhere, and if it's not going to be here, that's fine, but let him go play top 4 minutes in Lehigh Valley. Let him go play 24 minutes a night and play hockey, because over the last 3 years, he's hardly played hockey. So you saw Myers come up, and he's looked good. Twarinski has been sniffing around his first goal since he came up. Rubitsov has looked fine. It's coming. Things have changed already, and I think that's Fletcher throwing a warning shot. But you guys talked about big sweeping changes, trades, like core blowing up. And I think if it continues along this mediocre 500 borderline out of the playoffs, blah, 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 Voracek, Giroux, maybe not Giroux, Voracek, Ghost, maybe Couturier. I'm not saying they'll be traded. I'm saying they should all be nervous. They should all be on edge. They should all be a little concerned because there are obviously issues. And I'm trying to figure out, this team is so frustrating because I'm trying to figure out, is this a bad team? Is this a team that doesn't have the talent to do what they need to do? Are they adjusting to a new coach and still learning a system? Because even though it's 13 games in, it's still only 13 games in, and they might still be learning the system. Is this the peaks and valleys of a season? Like, every team is going to lose 3 out of 4. Every team is going to lose 4 out of 5 at some point. I'm trying to figure out what it is. It's one of those things, and I don't think it's they don't have enough talent. Does that make sense?
Here's the thing, though. When they put all these shots on goal, like, look at last night, how many shots on goal they had, and none of them, like, I guess not last night, but even just over the course of the season, they outshoot teams like crazy, and they're just not getting pucks in the net. They're not getting quality chances, and I think you need a goal scorer bad. Like, this team has needed a goal scorer bad.
Well, and Oscar Lindblom is emerging as a goal-scoring threat, by the way. He's leading the team with 7 goals.
But I like Lindblom, but I also feel like they need a guy that could get the that could just go from net to net and score a goal. Like, it's just like, for some reason, we can't find that. Like,
they need a top 10 player.
Sure,
they need a
absolutely,
guy.
Like, absolutely, and I'm not gonna blame Fletcher for saying that they don't have one. He hasn't been here long enough to say, you know, where's our top 10 player.
Right. But you don't need a top 10 player to win the cup. How many top 10 players in the league did St. Louis have last year? None.
To win the cup, I understand you can do it with depth instead, but there've been a lot of teams who have won the cup with top 10 players.
Absolutely. And that's what top 10 players are good for.
Ovechkin's won the cup, Crosby's won the cup. You know, I mean, there you normally do need that type of player to win the cup. I would say St. Louis was more of an outlier, and arguably you can also say Bennington was a top 10 player in the NHL last year.
I mean, he had, okay.
Statistically, he was that good.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
That's the reason why they got on that run. Would I put him in the top 10? No, I'm saying he had a top 10 year. He certainly should have been in the top 10 of MVP voting.
That's fair.
Without a doubt. And as far as who's going to go and who's not going to go and who should be nervous, I think it's all going to depend. If they get to the point where they've decided that they're sellers and this has to be blown up and restarted, it's all going to depend upon the return.
Of course.
Wherever you get the most return, you know, I think certain guys are going to go no matter what the return is.
I don't know if I trade Ghost for a puck bag. I just don't know if I trade like these core guys for just something, like anything, especially Couturier or.
Couturier is the one guy that I need a major return for if I'm going to deal him because he's still young.
He's one of, if not the best two-way forward in the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, like if you have the centers lined up the way we anticipated having them, the fact that Patrick is still not back again, my head's going to explode.
By the way, there was an update on that, and Fletcher said he's week to week. And he's hopeful that he returns this season. There's no sort of more immediate timeline than that.
That's so sick.
That's scary.
In the text thread on Tuesday night, he was one of the F-bombs.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, yeah.
But either way.
We hope he... Those are the words that were used. We hope he returns this season.
Hopeful he'll return this season.
That is so ominous.
But Dom, your point about them getting them out shooting teams, getting a lot of shots, getting, you know, maybe chances, maybe not quality chances, but they're putting a lot of pucks on net. That's kind of what makes me think that it's not a talent issue, because teams that win championships or make, you know, make deep runs. I don't necessarily need to say championship. Teams that make deep runs get bounces, get there's a little bit of luck involved. Hockey is a sport with a luck amount.
It's every sport, every baseball, football, basketball, sure. Hockey. When you get to the playoffs, you need a little bit of luck. It's talent, it's luck, it's who gets hot.
But the fact that they're exactly. So the fact that they're putting all these shots on net and they're not getting those bounces, that's what makes me think that they're still learning the system, because they're getting the chances, but they're not getting them from the high quality scoring areas yet. And it makes me think that they have the talent. So to me, it's a little bit of luck. They're still working on the system, and they might just be in a little bit of a valley, because an 82-game season has those valleys. And I'm hoping that's the case, and I'm hoping we don't need to blow it all up.
So let me ask you, how what are we, like 3 weeks, 4 weeks into the season now?
We're about a month in, yeah. We started October 4th. We are recording this show on November 3rd, so we're almost exactly a month in.
Okay, so they've been like this since probably the first or second game, where they're just out shooting guys, and it's been 4 weeks. At what point do they keep doing this? Do you say, okay, it's a talent problem?
Well, they
people say they do this for another month or two. At what point do you, Kyle, say, okay, maybe it's a talent issue? Because I feel like this is just, it's going to be like this for a while.
People smarter than me, hockey people smarter than me, say that it takes 4 to 8 weeks to learn a new system. We are now firmly in that time frame. For me, Thanksgiving is kind of where they need to have it figured out. And I think they're getting there. I think they're 80%+ of the way there. I think you haven't heard Vigneault complain too much about the guys don't know the system, the guys aren't learning the system. I think it's coming along. I think Vigneault is still shuffling lines. For example, last night, Farabee played on the first line instead of the third. Voracek slid down to the third. The second line remained completely intact. Vigneault is still tweaking his lines and still trying to find the combinations that he's the happiest with. But I think it's getting closer. Those tweaks are getting smaller and further apart. So right now, you should be expecting these guys to start getting into a groove, start working with their line mates in the system in a way that produces results. So I think we are firmly in that window, and I'm willing to give them until Thanksgiving. I don't think we need to make any moves. They probably don't make any moves before Christmas.
No, I don't think they should make moves now either. I'm just asking you personally, at what point, you know, do you think...
I'm gonna answer your question a little bit differently. My answer to your question is right now. I am so sick of watching this. It's not gonna change. It's not gonna get better. They need different players.
Like never I said, a lock of an answer.
Right. Well, no, and I knew that I was gonna happen, and that's why I had to spell out the other side, because I knew Senior would just come in and go, yeah, now. Change it. Burn it down.
What is we've watched this for three years previous to this. We've watched a new coach come in. They were better in the first week than they are in the fourth week. So I don't understand how there's adjustments, and they know what this coach wants them to do. And it's not a tactician type of problem. It's a compete problem. If you are not willing to compete every single night, you don't belong wearing a Flyer uniform. You don't belong in the NHL, let alone wearing a Flyer uniform.
But it's hard to go 100% effort in a system that you're not 100% comfortable with. It's hard to attack when you're not
totally
comfortable
disagree.
With the system.
I totally disagree. That's one of the axioms in sports is, if you're going to make a mistake, make it at 100 miles an hour. Because you can blow right through. Make it aggressive. Make it full speed ahead. If you're going to make a mistake, make it strong. This just we too hate many them a players less. On this team that are weak, that are just soft and just up and down, up and down. The only guy, I don't say only, I might be able to think a little deeper. The only guy that I've been happy with, that I can say 100% on the top of my head, he's been there 13 games, is Konechny.
I was about to say, the correct the answer scoring, is Travis Konechny.
Scoring Konechny. Hasn't been there every game. He's tailed a little bit. He's still over a point a game.
But you never question his effort.
But he's balls to the wall every game. Okay, he's also made fewer mistakes, and that's part of the reason why he's playing even better.
He's but making that contract look
even
amazing.
Even when he does make mistakes, it's at full speed. It's getting his pound of flesh if he's losing. It's doing comebacks. It's jumping out. It's blocking shots. He put his back, and he ended up doing it the other night because actually was falling down. There was a puck that went to the point, and he spun to get to it, and he kind of tied himself up, and he was going down. And he actually, you see him throw himself toward the shooter. He could have got hit in the back of the head. He could have got hit in the neck. But he laid his body out to try to block the shot. He ended up missing it, but it wasn't for lack of effort. That's what you need 25 guys doing that.
And it's his passion, too. Last night in overtime, Drew got the puck, passed it back to Provorov. And Provorov played awesome last night. Provorov with a huge outlet pass to the blue line, Konechny on a breakaway, shoots the puck, misses the rebound. Great play by Konechny, great play by Drew, great play by Provorov, and you just see Konechny throw his stick at the boards because he was just so mad at how he missed it. And you just love to see that kind of stuff, just the passion and the love for the game and love playing here.
Yeah, and there was a similar incident in the New Jersey game where he had a shot from the slot and ended up putting it high, and you just see him just put his stick across the top of his head and just, what do I have to do?
And that body language and that throwing the stick and that irritation and what he just did or didn't do is what you see in a guy who hates to lose. And everybody loves to win. We're winning. Yeah, we're all happy we're winning. Everybody loves to win. Some people hate and lose.
Yeah.
And that's a guy, and they need more guys like that who hate to lose.
I think a lot of them hate to lose. You just don't necessarily see it. Like, I know for a fact Claude Giroux
hates
to lose.
If you hate to lose, you see it. You can't hold it in. You can't. If you hate to lose, you can't hold it in. It's impossible.
Okay.
And I think Couturier is one of those guys that hates to lose. I do.
For sure.
I see it in his play. Well, I don't see it in Voracek. And unfortunately, I'm a fan of his, and I think he's done a lot of good things here, and he's a future Flyer Hall of Famer and all that stuff. I don't see in Giroux a guy that hates to lose.
Oh, see, I absolutely do. Just because you don't see it in public, in the game, in whatever.
I don't see it in his effort on the ice. And to a certain extent, I will say this. Giroux was a victim of his own making to some extent. Giroux was never as good as we wanted him to be or thought he would become early in his career. But he's played also way over his head, over his talent. So he's kind of a victim of himself. I'm not upset with Giroux.
Shame because the Flyers never realized throughout his career or his era here that he shouldn't be the best player on this team. He should be the second or third best player on this team.
When he had that series against Pittsburgh and Game 7 and he lays Crosby out, he takes the puck, gets the goal, we win Game 7, he was instantly catapulted into a top five player in the league. He was never that player. He ended up making himself way better than his talent really should have allowed him to be. So I'll give him credit for that. He maximized his ability, but he was never a top five player.
I would like to point out that I, your host, do not condone this talk about Claude Giroux.
I love Claude Giroux. Claude Giroux is one of my favorite players.
All that said, I love him. He's been much more than you ever could have expected.
He had 102 points 2 years ago.
I never said he wasn't good.
Should have been a Hart finalist.
I never said he wasn't good.
He'd be one of the best playmakers in the league. He's not the guy that's your best player on the team. You're not going to win a cup with him being the best player.
You're not going to win a cup with him as your best player. Dom, you hit it right on the head. You're not going to win a cup with him as your best player.
It's been what, almost 10 years now?
Yep.
And won one playoff series in the last 7 or 8 years.
Yep, it'll be 8 years.
And again,
this year, yep.
Giroux, I love you, man. I love you embody what it means to be a Flyer in a lot of ways. Okay, and again, if you had an 8 talent in the NHL, you got 9 out of it. You got more out of your ability, and this city loves that. And I love that.
Yeah.
You're just not the player we that you were given credit to be early in your career, even though you've been great.
His first 2 or 3 years, he might have been a top 10, 15 player. But it's just like, if they, just imagine if they would have gotten a nice defenseman and a guy that could score a ton of goals, like a top 10, top 15 player, how good they could have been these last couple years. I mean, I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah, and there's cases of that throughout the league with, you know, teams that have one good player and can't really put the pieces around them. And I think when you get a guy like Claude Giroux, it's hard to find. Like, it sounds silly to say it's hard to find talent. It's hard to find someone who can elevate him more than he elevates himself. Because he has, like you guys said, taken very, very good talent and turned it into elite talent. You know, he's been a Hart finalist. He should have been a Hart finalist 2 years ago. That's an absolute travesty that he wasn't. Hat trick on the final day of the season to get your team into the playoffs. You finish with 102 points and you're not a Hart finalist. All right. But that being said, I think the way Claude Giroux's style is I think he is going to age well. I think he's going to... I think the reason he had a couple of down years there, after the 2012 series, he had a couple of down years, and that's where a lot of the trade Claude chatter picked up. I think that's because he was the best player on the team and was trying so hard to elevate the team to the next level. But I think as he gets older and loses that step or whatever, I think he'll be able to slide down into being one of the very good players on the team without having to try to be the best.
I'm going
to
say, dude, I might bash my head if he's still here in 3 years. And I hope he is, and I hope that he's still a good player in 3 years, 4 years, whatever. I might bash my head if he's still the best player on this team 2, 3, 4 years from now.
You will not be alone if he's still the best player on this team in 3 years.
Well, I think Travis Konecny is making a case that he won't be. As far as I'm concerned.
If Travis Konecny is the best player on this team in 3 years, that's a problem too.
If you have enough very, very good talent, I don't think you need that top 10 player that you guys keep talking about. Would it be nice?
I think it has to be a top 10 player. I just think it needs to be a guy that scores the puck, just scores 30-plus goals for 5 years or whatever. Just a guy that gets the puck in the net.
I think Konecny can do that. I think Lindblom can do that. I think Farabee is going to do that.
That's three names. That's a whole lot of potential.
I understand.
And nobody who hasn't done it yet.
But what else do you have? You can't just go out and get a 30-goal scorer. They don't
Name the teams that have won the Cup recently, aside from Pittsburgh and Washington, that have obviously five players. LA won a couple. Chicago. Did they have any top 10 talent?
You know, you guys are talking about like 2015 and further back, right? We're talking about five plus years ago.
Yeah, we're talking in the last 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
What it takes to be at that level. Taves and Kane.
Yeah.
They have two top 10 and one, at least one top 5 talent.
And where are they
the
now?
The Bruins. Didn't the Bruins win a couple of cups?
Wait, Can
Bergeron play at all?
Timeout. Back to Chicago. So yeah, they won their cups, and that, you know, great. Kane and Taves are probably still in the top 25. They're not top 10 players anymore. Maybe Patty Kane, but they're top 25. Where are they now? Like, it takes more than just a couple of good players.
And when the Flyers have three cups and we get the bitch and complain that they're too old, I'll be happy to have that conversation in 10 years.
I understand. So why can't Farabee and Frost be those guys? It's only potential until you do something with it.
Do they look like those guys to you?
Farabee looks like a guy who could score 30
or 40. And there's another problem with the Flyers that we haven't talked about. That it gives me no confidence to say that Konecny will turn into that guy or anybody else below them. Claude Giroux is the same size he was 10 years ago. Sean Couturier is the same size he was 5 years ago. Who is running this team's the fitness department? Does anybody ever put any muscle on? Ghost is, if anything, he's smaller than he was. Does anybody ever put any muscle on? And that doesn't always fall totally on the team. It absolutely does fall on the team, and it's a team flaw. But what about the player themselves? What about the player realizing their own shortcomings and their own physical inadequacies, and in the offseason, over numbers of off seasons. Hey, I need to put 5 pounds of muscle on. I need to put 10 pounds of muscle on over 2 seasons. Where's that desire? You want to tell me somebody who hates to lose, who hates to get his teeth kicked in, who's tired of getting pushed off the puck in the corner, who puts on the muscle required to do it? Where's that in these guys? It's nowhere. Look at Crosby in his between 20 and 25, and look at him between 25 and 30. They're two different people.
You can't compare NHL players to Sidney Crosby. You just can't do it.
I'm not talent. I'm not talking talent.
No, it doesn't matter.
Stevie Y when he was 23, and look at him when he was 33. Physically, Mike Modano, look at him from 23 to 33. They're different people. Mark Messier was a beast by the time he was 30. He was 200 pounds of rock muscle. Where is that desire in the Flyers players to do that?
Okay. How many Hall of Famers are on the Flyers' current roster?
How many players won't become Hall of Famers because they're not willing to do what it takes?
How many Hall of Famers are currently on the Flyers' roster?
If their career ended
zero
tomorrow,
I see so far.
If they play their whole, how many current Flyers end up in the Hall of Fame somehow?
Zero.
You don't think Claude gets there?
No, I don't.
Okay,
he gets in the Flyers Hall of Fame. I don't think he gets in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Okay, so
am I saying he's a dead no? Can't get in the Hall of Fame? No, I'm not going to say that. You can make an argument.
So right now, we're all in agreement that there's somewhere between zero and two Hall of Famers on this roster, right? Depending on how Carter Hart turns out and long-term projections
like Farabee. You can't put Carter Hart even in that conversation.
Right.
But potential, though.
Yeah, if Carter Hart follows the same course that he's been following Carey Price, yeah, but you can't do that.
Right. No, I understand, and that's what I'm saying.
So just right now, based on off potential.
Right now, we cap out at probably two. The most you can say is there's a chance.
Now, who's number two?
Well, you know, if Claude gets in,
one. There's one you can make an argument for.
If Hart projects well, if Farabee projects well, blah, blah, blah.
You can't. Okay. It's one. It stops at one. Go ahead.
I think, generally speaking, you need at least one Hall of Famer on your roster. And if to make a deep run to be a
to
successful
compete for the cup. Oh,
right.
I agree.
They don't even necessarily need to be a top 10 player in the league. Like I could see a guy like Alex Pietrangelo making a Hall of Fame case one day. So for the Blues last year, they had a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but no, it's the same thing with the Penguins too.
The Malkin Blues are an outlier.
And Crosby and Chicago with Taze and Kane and.
Okay, what top 10 player did LA have? Maybe Drew Dowdy.
Brown was awesome.
Jonathan Quick.
Dustin
he
Brown
was flat out the best in the business for 5 years.
I'm not saying Dustin Brown was a top 10 player, but he was awesome.
Well, right, but that's what I'm asking. How many top 10 players did LA have? Jeff Carter wasn't a top 10 player in the league. Neither was Mike Richards.
Say Dowdy.
Anze Kopitar, maybe. Kopitar.
Anze was definitely a top 20 player.
Right. Dowdy, maybe.
Quick,
he's probably
Quick was
also
probably the top player. He was for five years, he was the best player in the league.
Here's the thing. Even the Flyers don't even have top 20 guys. Maybe one in Giroux, top 25.
Well, then maybe the problem is with the front office. I'm willing to acknowledge. Maybe they need to do a better job.
And that's
I'm the one saying blow it up.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying blow it up. Either way.
Oh, I want to blow it up with a hand grenade.
I know you would, but, you know, you're also not exactly the most patient fella.
It's been well over three years now.
Just in general, just in life.
Like
not
I said,
about this,
the
just
season
in life.
Can't be a failure. It will not be a failure. We will know it was the coach or it's the players. Well, it's clear. It's the players.
I'm still on the pace of it. They're still learning the system and it's still a process and they're still learning it. And that being said,
if they go 3-0 this week, I'll be in a different mood next week.
That being said, we have another measuring stick week against us. Flyers start with two home games against Carolina and Montreal. And then next weekend, they have a really tough back-to-back. It's two road games. Toronto, again. And then Boston.
Oh, Jesus. I thought I was in a bad mood this week. Oh, God. That's a disaster.
If Montreal
was 0-80 and we played them to end the season, we would lose. We just can't. There's a style there. There's a Holyfield you know, Tyson thing. Tyson could never beat him in a million years. We can't beat Montreal. So that's a loss.
For all the listeners, when Kyle just said the first two opponents, you know, our reactions were whatever. And then when he just said Toronto and Boston, you had to see the look on our, yeah. His face just dropped.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. Carolina and Montreal, I kind of put them in a similar to where the Flyers should be. Last year, Carolina made a run, won a couple of playoff rounds. Montreal just barely missed the playoffs. The Flyers should theoretically be somewhere in between those two teams, probably.
Yeah, but they won't beat Montreal.
I listen, that's fine. I understand what you're saying.
I'd love to be wrong.
I hope you are. So do I. And then you have Toronto and Boston. Obviously, these are cream of the crop, top five in the NHL teams, or projected to be at least. Toronto's had a little bit of a struggle early
again. Hopefully Toronto's still struggling come next weekend.
Right. So this is the kind of week. And again, we're going to record before that Boston game on Sunday. So we're only going to talk about Carolina, Montreal, and Toronto next week. If you go 2-1, are you happy with that? Even if the one is Montreal?
If they don't go 0-3, I'll be happy.
Man, I'm glad we're setting the bar high.
Look, I just don't expect much. I don't expect much from this team. I just don't.
How fitting would it be if they go 1-1-1?
I think you got it dead on.
That sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
3 points. Yeah. Well, either way, all right, let me get a record prediction. I feel like this was a pretty low show in terms of optimism. Senior, Carolina, Montreal, Toronto.
I don't know what we're basing that on.
Yeah. Carolina, Montreal, Toronto. Give me a record for the week. Senior, we'll start with you.
If they play the way this... Look, you know what? I'm gonna ride the roller coaster, okay? We've already dipped, okay? So
okay.
I'm gonna go 2-1.
Okay.
The roller coaster's going to be swinging up this week.
Dom?
For no reason, I'm basing that on absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I'll do the roller coaster. I like that. I was going to go 2-1, but I'll go a little different. I'll stick with it. 1-1-1.
Yeah, you're probably got a lot more chance to be right.
You know what? I feel like I'm the optimist of this group, and this team has kind of ebbed and flowed pretty heavy with the show. We've talked about it. They started 3-0, or they started 2-0-1, and then they went 0-3 the next week, and then they went 3-0. They're really flip-flopping hard based solely around our schedule.
And based on how they played for the last 3 years.
And if there was ever a lock for anybody being optimistic out of the three of us, it's definitely Kyle.
It's absolutely me, 100%.
Yes, correct.
I'm going to go with 2-0-1. I think they get 5 out of 6 points this week.
I hope you're right.
Well, that being said, I think we've had enough for today. Senior, was there anything else that you wanted to get off your chest, or are you feeling a little better? How's your therapy session been?
No, if anything, I'm angrier than when we started.
Oh boy, I'm glad I don't have to deal with you.
Mainly because you said that they were playing Toronto and Boston next weekend.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that probably made me more sadder than, you know, because now you know what it is when they play Boston, I get sick to my stomach because I get to watch a guy play that understands everything about how to win a hockey game, and you watch Bergeron, and it's not just how he plays. It's 17 different things that he does. It's like watching Bobby Clark in his prime.
I forgot that you had a little almost. Bit of a man crush on Patrice Bergeron.
He's the closest thing to Brian Trottier, who I'm a huge fan of. I know he's an Islander, but I'm a huge fan of his.
Probably retired before I was born.
Probably.
Or very, you know, very no. shortly thereafter.
No, wait. No, he played. What year were you born? 95? Oh, 92. Oh, no, he definitely retired after that. He won Cup. He was playing with Mario Lemieux when he won the Cup. He was on those teams.
Weren't they 92, 93?
You said born. You didn't say
that. I understand.
So, he taught Lemieux a lot about, not talent, but he taught Lemieux a lot about what it takes to go from a talented player to a Stanley Cup champion.
So the Flyers should hire Brian Trottier as an assistant coach of some variety to teach Claude Giroux the same thing?
I don't know that he's that guy. I think he's got a little bit of Michael Jordan in him, in that, like he doesn't have the want, desire, or ability necessarily to translate what he does as a coach. He's been coaching in different places, but he's never been a head coach. I don't know if he's the right personality for that, but he certainly, as a player in the locker room, I'll show you more than tell you how to be.
Right.
He was just a phenomenal player. Think Bobby Clark, a little thicker, a little better, a little stronger, but all the same passion, desire, and ability that Clark had. He was slightly better than Bobby, but if we can get the next Bobby Clark in here, I'll be thrilled.
Either way, that'll bring us to the end of the Brian Trottier Appreciation Hour. until next week, you can find the show on Twitter at YWTPodcast. You can find Mike at Mike_Giletto and Dom at Dom Console. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, and SportsTalkPhilly.com, as well as at SportsTalkPHL and at Flyerdelphia. Don't forget to follow Kevin Durso. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and maybe we'll have him back on next week. Somebody who's a little more positive about this team than you folks.
Hey, I don't get asked to come and speak positively for the Flyers. I'm asked to give my honest opinion.
Oh, and boy, do you!
I also don't wear orange shaded glasses.
No, well, and I'll admit that I probably do. So that being said, that'll do it for next week. Make sure to tune in next week, and we'll see you later.
Oh, I want to blow it up with a hand grenade.